This is Anaya Smith, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man as we've finally gotten here to NFL Draft Week. Big times, guys. Big times ahead. Cody, I'm assuming you're heading up to Detroit probably. Are you leaving on Tuesday?
I'm leaving Tuesday morning, 5 a.m. sharp.
Okay, so Cody leaves Tuesday. I'll be there on Thursday. Just for everybody wondering, we're going to have our final rookie rankings up on RosterWatch.com early this week, so you guys can have them from us, the cumulative rankings where it takes into account my rankings, Cody's rankings, Trashman's rankings. There'll be links to a bunch of our write-ups for these guys, links to podcasts where we discuss them, information about them, age, important stats, production within the context of their offenses, et cetera, et cetera. So make sure and check that out over on the site. Also, coming up this week, we will have our mock drafts, Cody and I's final mock drafts for the Huddle Report. You can look for those on Wednesday night up at the site. Also on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we will be in Detroit with the Player Profiler Club. So we're going to be doing the broadcasting with those guys. They have a big content house there. I'm going to be putting links to those streams up on Roster Watch that you can just go to the ticker and you can, that way, if you don't subscribe to Player Profiler on YouTube or whatever, you can find that stuff over at Roster Watch super easy. And if you want to watch it the next day to get our kind of live reactions to day one, day two, and day three, you'll be able to get it all right there. So we're going to have you completely covered for the NFL draft. And we wanted to today discuss 9 rookie sleepers you need to watch during the 2024 NFL draft. Trashman didn't know it was rookie sleepers. So, are you going to have 3 rookies, Trashman, for yours? Or?
Yeah.
Who were the fantasy sleepers that you were going to talk about, just out of curiosity?
I was going to talk about Michael Wilson. I closed the windows. I don't remember all the guys, but Michael Wilson was one for sure. But let's talk about rookies.
Okay. All right. I'll start out. We'll each go with 3. The first guy that I want to talk about, I feel like I haven't spoken a word about since the Senior Bowl. And whenever we went to the Senior Bowl, I told Cody this guy. I told Cody, I was like, man, I'm not even sure that we need to do a write-up on this dude because I don't think he's very good. I think he's specifically a kick returner. I like the dynamism, but I don't know. I think he's going to the Senior Bowl to show off his kick returning skill, and that is Jaquan Jackson from Tulane. They're at the Senior Bowl. I think that we saw this dude looked like something more than just a kick returner, good routes, clean routes, sure hands. Jaquan Jackson from Tulane he's a redshirt senior and he's a little bit smaller than you would like, 5'9", but 190 pounds. So good BMI to him. He ran 4.42. Little bit of an older prospect. He'll be 24. He'll turn 24 on May 15th of this year, but did break out at age 19 as a redshirt freshman there at Tulane. Last year's production, not all that great as far as the receiving stuff. But what really impressed me about Jaquan Jackson, not only during the Senior Bowl, I'm like, man, this guy's a lot better than I had thought about, but also at the Combine. Cody, you and I have been doing the Combine on-field scores, and he was a dude that showed up really well as far as that was concerned. His total overall grade for those, for our pro members, for the on-field workout was 24.5, which puts him basically, we're talking about he had a workout that was better than Jaxon Smith-Njigba's workout last year. Out of all these guys, how many of these guys are on this list from the last 2 years, Cody? Like probably 60-something?
Yeah, it's I think it's like 63, 64, somewhere
one,
in there.
1, 2, 3. And so the guys at the very top have turned, I mean, names among the very top dudes, Tank Dell, Josh Downs, Puka Nacua is in fourth place, Roma Dunze is in fifth. Now, there are some kind of misses on here. Charlie Jones is up pretty high. Kayshawn Booty is up pretty high, but there's also Zay Flowers. There's Tyler Scott, Quentin Johnston, Andre Yosivash. Jaquan Jackson's tied with those dudes, but he's ahead of guys like Jackson Smith and Jigba, Ladd McConkey, Trash Man's Guy, Michael Wilson, Jordan Addison, Jaden Reed, you know, some good players. But, you know, he's up there sandwiched in with a bunch, you know, the Tank Dells, the Pukas, the Josh Downs, the Zay Flowers, the Jackson Smith and Jigbas, the Ladd McConkeys, the Jordan Addisons of the world as far as his on-field workout. Clean out of his breaks, really good explosion out of his breaks, and he brings that extra kick returning thing that I thought was going to be what he would hang his hat on. It turned out that he's better than that. So Jaquan Jackson from Tulane, I think he's probably a day three pick. I know he's going to be a day three pick. But if your team picks him, he's somebody that could be a little bit interesting. What's up to the chat, to Harry Snowman, Ronald Martinez. So good to see. Oh, my God. Minion Hunter is in the chat. You know, when Minion Hunter's back in the chat, things are starting to heat back up. So good to see you, brother. Yeah, man. So good to see all you guys. And thank you for watching the show. If you could remember to like the show, subscribe to the channel on YouTube, we'd appreciate that. And, of course, if you're listening on the podcast form, a 5-star rating and a review goes a long way. We certainly do appreciate that. Who's up? Cody? Trash Man? I guess let's give Trash Man some time to think about it.
All right. So,
Jaden Schurz, that's a good one.
Who?
I like that, Harry Snowman.
Jaden Schurz.
Jaden Schurz. He was going to be my fourth. We can only talk about three apiece. He was going to be my fourth, so I'm glad you mentioned him. First off, though, for me is Jalen Coker, wide receiver out of Holy Cross. Plays bigger than he is. You know, he's listed at 6 foot, I think 1.5. He thought he was 6'3" throughout the entire process. And you know, watching his tape, I believe it. A bigger guy, big build, maneuvers well through traffic though. Really good contact balance, excellent ball tracking skills, good play speed. He runs all the routes you could want out of a receiver. Play the X or the slot. And he's a good blocker. He's had success against larger schools. He was one of the guys I liked at the Shrine Bowl. He's one of the guys I liked coming into the Shrine Bowl. Just based off of his size and speed combo and his ability to move through traffic. Good body control.
Is he gonna get drafted? Holy Cross.
So I was just going to say Jaquan Jackson I had picking at pick 140 to the Chargers in round 5, and Jalen Coker I had going 184 to the Miami Dolphins in round 6 of this latest 7-round mock draft that's going to be up at Roster Watch today.
Okay, so yeah, make sure and go check that out for sure. And I think Trashman probably has some kind of write up on Coker up on the side if you want to go check that out. So all right, Jalen Coker is Trash Man's first.
Cody? I'll stick with receiver, and I'll go Ryan Flournoy. Flournoy is a guy that I don't have getting mocked in this 7-round mock draft. He's a fringe guy for me in the 7th round. When you look at the profile overall, he's a guy we saw down there at the Senior Bowl, and he did well to above average, I would say, at the Senior Bowl. He did fine at the NFL Combine on the grading. The route running was – he almost had a zero, so he didn't go negative. He almost had a zero in the base route running. The gauntlet was mediocre. But overall, I was impressed with him down there at the Senior Bowl. He's a small, small school kid. He went to Central Missouri for 2 years. Then the season was canceled for the pandemic. Then he went to JUCO, and then he went to Southeast Missouri State. But this kid runs a 4.44. He measured in at about 6'1", 205 pounds, big, big hands, over 10-inch hands. He's an athlete, almost a 40-inch vertical, 11-foot broad jump. He's athletic in space, and he knows it, but he's almost 25 years old. It's a guy that has almost 2,000 receiving yards in his time in college across those 6 seasons. I'm a little worried just based on that being 25 years old. He's an older prospect, but he is athletic enough to, I think, make a roster this year. And I'm kind of interested to see kind of where he falls in this draft on I think it'll be Saturday then, because it'll be round 4 through 7. So we'll see if he does get drafted. He's kind of a fringe guy for me, though, right now.
I'm going to switch positions here to running back, but I'm going to stick with I'm going to stick with the Senior Bowl guys. And the one I wanted to talk about, I mean, he was on our old Senior Bowl team, and it feels like he's completely fallen off the radar for us, is Michael Wiley from Arizona. Mm-hmm. 5'10.5", 210 pounds, nine and a quarter inch hands. Hit plenty fast at 4.51. And the I can't say he was the best receiving back at the Senior Bowl, because I think that Dylan Lauby is somebody you have to kind of say was the best receiving back at the Senior Bowl. With that being said, he looked like the back that had the most three down capability. Good as far as his pass protection, really, really good soft hands, didn't drop a pass each week. Cody and I kept looking at each other and saying, you think the state of Arizona guy coming in here, great pass catcher. I mean, at 210 pounds, it obviously reminded us a little bit of a Rashad White. And it feels like through the process, we've kind of maybe forgotten about him. I'm looking at my ranks, and I'm wondering before these things go final, if I need to move Michael Wiley up maybe just a little bit because of how impressed we – it feels like the shine's worn off of him because he hasn't done much through the process to really impress us. He's just kind of gone through it, and he's looked fine. And, the interviews at the combine were fine. The 4.51, I think, is totally fine. And even last year when he was a little bit banged up, I think he only played 8 or 9 games last season. Oh, all right. Well, he played 10 games. He played 9 games because there was the one game that he had to leave early. But still, 28 receptions last year, 36 the year before. And then in 2021, 33 receptions. Hasn't had less than 3 receiving touchdowns in any of the last 3 seasons. Only has gone over 1,000 scrimmage yards once back in 2022 when he stayed healthy the whole time. And that was probably his best year from a production standpoint, 11 total touchdowns. Michael Wiley's good, man. He's a good player. He's a day three running back that will be able to come in and one of these dudes who, for fantasy, if he goes to a team where he's some kind of backup, right, and something happens where the starter goes down, and he's the kind of guy that can step up into a role and I think immediately have the trust if the pass protection stuff is as good as it was at the Senior Bowl and the team can trust him to be there in a kind of an every down kind of situation. I feel like he's the type of guy that is big enough to take on that load, but also can bring that upside of a receiving weapon. So Michael Wiley, Arizona, that's my second sleeper.
Okay. My second sleeper, I'll pivot to running back for this one. And it was a player who was at the Shrine Bowl too, a guy that we kept noticing over and over again. And that was Blake Watson out of Memphis. I don't know. Maybe it was just, those Memphis helmets are pretty flashy. But
those Memphis backs have been pretty, you've had a decent return taking shots on these guys.
Yeah, that's true. But he's a guy that we noticed making plays, getting up the field quickly. It's not surprising that we noticed him in, receiving drills because he was a receiver up until his sophomore year in college. So he's natural catching the ball. My excellent lateral quickness. He makes sharp, decisive cuts, great instincts. He's slippery through traffic and got good burst, through the line. I think being a former receiver, he sees the field really well, sees the whole field really well. And just at the Shrine Bowl, he was that one player who we kept noticing making plays. And Byron will attest to that too. So Blake Watson, I think they can come in. He's a smaller back. He's listed right under 190, 189 pounds, 5'9", a little bit smaller. But, I think as a receiving back or change of pace back, I think he's a guy you can slot right in from the get-go.
I'm going to go to the quarterback position, and I'm going to bring up Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis is a guy from Florida State that dealt with a foot injury during his time at Florida State late in his career. Of course, they went undefeated in 2023, but he also was in college for 6 years. Started out at Louisville, ended up at Florida State, first team all ACC this past year, and increased up to 64% completion percentage. I just think overall this quarterback is one that's going to get drafted. I don't think he's going to be quite, late day two. I think it's going to be more so around 4 or 5 and situationally. I think Los Angeles Rams would be a perfect spot for him to sit for a year or two. But the reason I'm going to go quarterback is because I think one of these guys in this class, whether it be Travis or Milton or Hartman or somewhere of this nature, or maybe even Keaton Slovis, one of these guys is going to get an opportunity to sit behind a Stafford or potentially a Rodgers. And I think it's going to be very beneficial. I think Jordan Travis is one at 6'1", 200 pounds. I think in a pro-style offense, he's going to succeed in the NFL. 66 touchdowns, 20 picks in his career, 20 touchdowns, 2 picks this past season. So it's not flashy, not running back, not a receiver, but quarterback Jordan Travis from Florida State.
We have not only Ronald Martinez and Harry Snowman and Minion Hunter in the chat. We also have the one true king, the king in the north. I can't believe it, dude. We got the whole crew here in town, boys. It's great to see everybody. Okay, my last. We're already to our last one, huh? We're flying through this thing. My last one is going to be another guy that's like completely flown under the radar through this whole process. And I think it's Anaya Smith. People aren't talking about him anymore. Like they just aren't. Did he not? I think because we have it in our sheet, we have a pro day adjusted 448 in the sheet, right? Did he run at the combine? I don't remember him running at the combine. I don't. But dude, if you just go back and watch A&M, and I mean, we had a lot of exposure to him. I mean, he's a real kind of stud of a guy. He's a dude I always thought of it. He's 5'9", he's 191 pounds. He has that kind of body type of a Amari Rodgers or a maybe like a Lynn Bowden, Dimitri Felton, mm-hmm. Curtis Samuel, like these kinds of dudes that were because he used to play running back, right? He broke out as a true sophomore in the SEC on an A&M team that had future talent like Isaiah Spiller, Devon Achane. Who's that tight end who was no good, but he was pretty good in college?
Weidermeyer.
Right. So he's not the tallest dude, but he's sturdy. He's got good BMI. Versatile all-around weapon, sure-handed, really good framing ability, very tough with the ball in his hands. He plays like a running back when he has the ball in his hands. Like I said, just used a lot out of the backfield, right? Achane might be – he's not as fast as Achane, but it's kind of a good comp. 6.7 yards after catch per reception in 2023. So at 4.45 to 4.48, he's fast enough to where he's dangerous with the ball in his hands. Really good, has a lot of quicks. What you worry about with him is, like not too impressive through the process. And I'd always wondered about his catch radius. I'm looking here at so the wingspan, one of the smallest. He has the same kind of wingspan as like Jacob Cowing from Arizona, right? That's like a 5'8", 160, 160 pound dude. So a little bit small kind of catch radius, looks a little bit like a running back there. But I do think that Curtis Samuel is a good sort of usage/production comp that comes to mind. Not the same straight line speed, like I said.
Curtis Samuel was going to be one of my sleepers that wasn't a rookie.
Yeah, I think that it'll depend on where he goes, right? I think if Anaya Smith goes to out of A&M, if he goes to a situation where he actually gets to play, I think he can play, and so he'll be my final one. I honestly can't believe how little I've thought about him kind of down the home stretch here as far as getting ready for the draft.
I'm sure he'd be hurt by that sentiment, but. But last guy on my list, I'm going back to receiver. It's LaDaitrick Griffin out of Mississippi State. Not a whole lot of tape on this kid, but I mean, the tape that is on him, he's lightning fast, one of these joystick type players on the field. Small, that's going to be the knock against him. Although he's not as small as you might think, he's 5'10", 175 pounds. Runs the 4.4, kind of reminded me of D. Eskridge, who I loved in the draft process. The Seahawks never really found a way to use him, and I feel that might be the problem with Griffin in the NFL. I think some teams might just see him as a kick returner type of player, but I do think that he could slot in as a slot receiver in the NFL and be really explosive and productive, you know, on a team that's willing to, you know, take a chance on him, because he was just phenomenal at Mississippi State.
You know, Cody was telling me that Ryan Watts from Texas, the cornerback, he had the fastest cornerback day of anybody during one of those days. He got up to like 20.8 miles per hour or something like that. And Cody was like, yeah, but that was the play where LaDietrich Griffin burned him. So he was just chasing after him. So, I mean, you know that he's got wheels if he's got a corner chasing him at 20.8 miles per hour that they can't catch up.
Yeah, I think the only issue with him will be whether they actually see him as an every down receiver.
Do you think he can translate to that?
I think he's able to separate enough to be able to do that. I think he could play slot.
I put him in Seattle in the seventh round.
Right
behind Lockett.
I don't think Eskridge even plays for Seattle. And did he get traded?
I don't think he does either. I'm not sure anymore.
Where is Eskridge? Somebody in the chat will probably tell us before we do. I guess he's still for the Seahawks. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well. Hey. Well, maybe he'll still break out, Trash Man. You can hold out hope.
So my last one is going to be one I didn't think I was going to bring up, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm the only one at Roster Watch that has this guy in the top 10, and I've been beating the drum for him since this process began. And over the course of the last, I don't know what it's been, 8 years, I always find one receiver that I love in every draft class. All the way back to Anthony Miller, Kenny Golladay. Last year was Trey Palmer. Every year there's one guy, and this year it's been this guy, 6'1", 208, out of Central Florida, 4.54 40, over 3.00 in the yards per run, which is exactly what we want to see. This is a four-star prospect coming out of high school. Almost a 30% team production rating this past year. I comped him to Stephon Diggs, Rashi Rice. He is a top 10 wide receiver in this class. When we look back at it, whether he goes in round three or round four, it'll be a mistake he wasn't in round two. Javon Baker is going to have multiple 1,000-yard seasons in the NFL. I'm not saying it's going to happen as a rookie, but I think there's going to be an offense that he fits into very well, whether it's Jacksonville, whether it's Pittsburgh. There's going to be an offense that Javon Baker will excel in, and everyone's going to look back with regret, including Alex and the Trash Man and Byron, for not having him in the top 10 of the Roster Watch rankings. Javon Baker is that dude.